Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Welcome to Impact Africa with Tope Fajanbasi. Africa has long been associated with needing aid and handouts. Today, you'll learn so much more about this wonderful continent from enlightening stories, people, and ideas. Now, here is your host, Tope Fajanbasi.
Good evening and a very, very warm welcome to all my listeners. This is Impact Africa with me, Tope Fajanbasi. I'm really delighted to be here again today. I'm, you know, really thankful that you all are here tuning in, listening, and ready to be inspired. And I will do my best with my guests that I have today to make sure that this is an inspiring episode. Again, this is Impact Africa, where Africa gets inspired. Like I mentioned last week when we had the show, I said, you know, the this season ends on January 2nd, and the decision whether to continue Impact Africa or not depends on you, the listeners. I know there are thousands of listeners from all over the world, and I'm hoping that we'll all come together and make sure that this show continues and this platform that we have created continues. If you want to support Impact Africa, please go to www.africa-impact.com. Once again, that's www.africa-impact.com. We're trying to raise $12,000 by January 2nd, and every donation that you make will be acknowledged on air unless you state otherwise. So if you have a business that you want us to promote based on your donation, however much you donate, we're going to promote it. And then, you know, your donations are quick, they're secure, they're fast, they're processed through PayPal. So I'm hoping that we get people going out there. Once again, the website is www.africa-impact.com. Why should we, you know, why should we do this? And, you know, some of the issues that have come up this week in the news, in the mainstream media, kind of reinforced my belief on why we have to have this platform. The thing about Africa is, how do we want people to address us? How do we want people to tag us? Do we want to be known by the name of the continent of the guy who came out and, you know, to become a fake interpreter? Or do we want to be like, you know, the people who I feature on this show who are doing great things in the diaspora and within the continent itself? I think that when we have a platform like Impact Africa, we're going to be known not by the fake interpreter, but by guests like, you know, my first guest today, who is doing something absolutely phenomenal. I was just talking to him before we started the show that I remember when his idea started, and now it has, you know, just grown into something big. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Kende Olajide. He is the CEO and the co-founder of Hemisphere Beverages, and he's doing something really wonderful, which really ties into the theme of this show, which is to tell the story of Africa in a way that is positive, in a way that is true. You know, when you think about a place like Northern Nigeria or Egypt, what you think about is conflicts, is wars, and, you know, coups, and, you know, never-ending problems. But for the second time this season, we're actually going to be talking about one of the money spinners in Northern Nigeria, which is a plant called Zobo, which my guest today has actually, you know, grown to the extent where, you know, he has a beverage business around that Zobo. If you grew up in Nigeria, you probably know that drink called Zobo. So now, how is Zobo making a statement in America? That's what I'm going to be discussing with Kende Olajide today. So Kende, welcome to Impact Africa.
So Tope, thank you so much for having me, and I'm a huge fan of your show. Even though I just recently heard about it, I knew you were. You've always been someone that, you know, makes a difference and does a lot of things about Africa, and you're really engaged into the culture. And so I really appreciate the fact that you are doing this, and we're very happy and glad to be here.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So now, you know, I've known you for a couple of years, and honestly, this Zobo business is really, really inspiring to me, even though I've known you for a while. So, but can you tell me how you decided to even, you know, remember there was anything called Zobo and start a business around it?
Well, yeah. Actually, the idea for Zobo to make it into a mainstream drink in America actually started from a completely different venture. So I was working, it was going to be like an online food store. And so we decided to do a food tasting event, you know, just sample people's palates and see how they were going to respond to African dishes and African cuisine. So we had some dishes from, you know, mainly from Nigeria and some other West African countries, and we had about roughly about between 75 to 100 people. So we had different dishes, and then I remember Zobo from my childhood, and I said, you know what, let's try, you know, an African beverage as well. So we prepared Zobo the traditional way, you know, you boil the petals of the hibiscus flower in hot water, and you add your flavoring, your sweetener, and all the good stuff. So we prepared it the traditional way. We took it for the food tasting event. And I noticed that maybe about, you know, 50% of the people actually ate the food. So I was like, okay, the food is probably too ethnic. Maybe the smell was too strong. but something really striking was happening. Every single person was drinking Zobo. And people kept asking, what's this? You know, they were going for second helpings. In fact, within about 20 minutes, all the Zobo that was prepared for the event had finished.
Hmm.
And, you know, about half of the people were still picking at the food. So, you know, the event finished, and, you know, an epiphany just struck me right there, because I've been looking for, you know, something I could, some kind of product or service I could cross-pollinate between African and American cultures. And so I wanted to do that through the online food store. But I didn't want an ethnic, I didn't want ethnic customers. I didn't want only African customers or only African-American customers. We wanted customers from across America, from across the United States, you know, Hispanic, Caucasian, Blacks, everyone. And that was exactly what was happening with Zobo at that small sampled event. So I got home that night, and, you know, I told my wife, you know, I've always been entrepreneurial since I was a kid. And, you know, since I got married, I've always been bouncing ideas off of my wife. And she always has she helps to actually focus me, because when I throw an idea at her, you know, I know whether the idea is going to have legs or not, just based on her response. So I told her, look, let's not do this online food store. What I think we should do is, let's focus on this drink, just based on that response. And my wife, she was quiet for like 10 seconds. So I was like, okay, this is not a good idea. And she looked at me with a huge smile on her face, and she said, you know what? That's actually a fantastic idea. You know, I'm paraphrasing her now. She said, you know, I watch Oprah, and I've been, you know, hearing about all these really healthy super drinks, yoba mate, palm wonderful, that, you know, Zobo will fit right into that category, that she thinks that Zobo is actually a super drink because of the of its health properties. So it was that night that the idea of Zobo started, and you know, I started working on, you know, how to make it viable. I incorporated a company called Hemisphere Beverages, because we weren't going to just introduce Zobo alone. So our goal, our mission, was to deliver high quality natural beverages that have been enjoyed across, you know, the continent for centuries, but that haven't really made it into mainstream consumption in America.
Right.
So our flagship product having will be Zobo, which is a drink that has been enjoyed for centuries in Nigeria. But, you know, even a lot of Nigerians, you know, didn't know Zobo at that time. You know, it was very popular in northern Nigeria. It was beginning to get a little bit popular in the south. If you go to the east, they probably haven't heard about Zobo before. So our goal was to, you know, make Zobo an international brand. And that's exactly what we've been doing since the spring of 2009.
And, you know, 2009 to right now, we're talking about 4 years and counting.
Right.
How would you say that the American market have received, you know, I know you are not only in America, you are even abroad. How would you say the American market has received Zobo? Has it been like what you thought, the kind of success you anticipated, or no?
Yes. The response to Zobo has actually been, it's been fantastic. And I think part of the reason is because of its great health qualities and properties. You know, people have been moving away from sugary and non-healthy drinks. People are beginning to realize that, you know, some of these drinks we're actually giving to our kids, you know, they label them as healthy, but when you look at the nutritional facts, when you look at the ingredients, you have things like yellow 5, orange 6, and you're like, what's that? Those are actually artificial colors that, you know, some of these artificial colors have been linked to ADHD and hyperactivity in kids. So, you know, when we started Zobo, we started doing a lot of research into all these beverages and what we're giving to our kids. And, you know, if you look at the nutritional content of the Zobo we put in the market, we like to call it a minimalist drink. Very few ingredients, low sugar, no artificial colors or flavors. So it's a natural drink, and that's exactly what a lot of the consumers in America are looking for right now. And the response and the reaction has really been great.
I can imagine. And, you know, definitely I'm thinking about there are so many issues, especially you mentioned the issue of kids. There's obesity, there's ADHD, there's all sorts right now. And most of the time we can link some of these things to what we consume. We're getting far and far away from the natural. But the ability to even look for the solution in our own background is what is very intriguing to me. The fact that some of these first world problems have their solutions in, you know, third world products is just phenomenal. But for many of us who are Africans, that eye, that business eye that you took to that tasting event that day, many of us would miss it. We would totally miss it. We would not see, you know, an opportunity to actually, what we might take away from that event is, oh, people did not like the food that I took there. Exactly. Oh, this idea is going to just die. But the fact that you went there, okay, yes, the food was too ethnic for them, but something good came out of it. And that is, you know, what is absolutely, you know, amazing to me. I'm going to take a brief break right now, but when I come back, I want to ask you about some of the business side of this business. Once again, you're listening to Impact Africa, and my guest is pioneering this Zobo packaging and distribution business in America and beyond. And if you've heard anything, it is that there are first world problems that can be solved by third world, you know, resources. So what are you going to find? What are you going to bring to the market? What are you listening to right now that you are thinking, okay, there's a solution within my own place, you know, as well? So please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for the keywords World Talk Radio. Once you're a part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the World Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for World Talk Radio.
Impact Africa is brought to you by Tope Fajingbesi's House of Ghania, an organization built to inspire. Publishers of What Color Is Your Money, we produce programs and publications and deliver engaging presentations to a wide variety of audiences to develop people and create stronger communities. We also endorse United for Kids Foundation, an organization committed to healing Nigeria and the world, one child at a time. Find us on Facebook at House of Ghania, Twitter at Ghania TFAJ, and on the web at www.ghania.com.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Impact Africa. To connect with the program today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to Tope. That's T-O-P-E at ourfinancialcoach.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Impact Africa, and my guest is still Kenny Olajide, the co-founder and the CEO of Hemisphere Beverages, the brain behind Zobo in the big market, Zobo on the big stage. So once again, when you think about Northern Nigeria, when you think about Egypt or Northern Africa, don't think about just the wars and everything that you hear on the news. Think about the fact that that's where share comes from. Think about the fact that that's where Zobo comes from, and so many other beverages, as Kenley was telling me during the break. So Kenley, you know, I'm thinking, if I'm Nigerian and I want to bring this kind of thing to the market, the first thing anybody would think is, who would buy it? Which kind of stores would buy? So who are your customers?
Well, I mean, to date, our biggest customer is actually Sam's Club. So we started selling to Sam's Club. We do something called road shows, and Sam's Club, they've opened the entire Sam's Club to us. We can actually go to any of their stores and do a roadshow and sell Zobo there. And the response we've been receiving has been just great. And, you know, one of the things I really love about Zobo is not only its health properties and its health qualities, but also the name. Anyone can pronounce Zobo. So that just makes it very easy to sell. I mean, anyone can say Zobo. So it's not a strong ethnic name that has like three to six syllables.
Not a typical Nigerian name, yeah.
Right. So and I mean, the process of creating a trademark for Zobo is also another very interesting story, because when we tried to create a trademark for it, you know, they said no, Zobo is a generic name. So I mean, we had to get innovative. So what we did was, if you look at our brand, instead of spelling it Z-O-B-O, we just changed the first O in Zobo to the hibiscus flower. So you still look at it, it looks, okay, that looks like Zobo. So people are still pronouncing it Zobo, but we now have a trademark, you know, for that Z with a hibiscus flower and B-O. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. That's how we got our trademark.
Wow. You know, and this is really interesting. And the thing I want people to hear from you right now is that you don't have to be General Mills to have your product in Sam's Club.
No.
You don't have to be Procter & Gamble. You just have to be somebody who's got a product. And there's so many African products that are waiting to be tapped that, you know, the U.S. market is ready for. They are hungry for that. I feel like many of us need to start thinking. If you're listening right now, your own Zobo is out there. What is it going to be? Next time you go to Nigeria, think about what you're bringing back. Or next time you go to Ghana or wherever you go, just bring something back. But let me ask you a question, Kennedy.
Yes.
I know this plant exists in northern Nigeria, but
yes.
You currently source, again, from Africa, but from Egypt. Why
right.
Egypt and not Nigeria at this point in time?
Well, I mean, we're working on sourcing it from Nigeria currently. But the main reason why we're sourcing it from Egypt is, one, it's actually cheaper to source it from Egypt. Two, what we source from Egypt is not just the dried hibiscus flower. We actually need it in a more processed form. So if that cannot be done in Nigeria right now, there are no companies that are currently doing that in Nigeria. So what we plan to do is we actually have a subsidiary company in Nigeria right now called Exotic Beverages. So it's a wholly owned subsidiary of Hemisphere Beverages. And what we are planning to do is to be able to source the raw hibiscus, process it the way we need it here in the States, and ship it over to the States.
Interesting. Yep. Because I think that it's great that you have that idea, because as you were talking, the business person in me is thinking, this is it right here. You know, instead of all these young people joining Boko Haram and fighting the whole play around the whole place, this is a job. This is, you know, a company that can be created and can create jobs and create, you know, a livelihood for people. So I'm very happy that you're taking that on. You also mentioned when we were talking before the show that there are potentially other beverages that can come from northern Nigeria. Is that true?
Oh, I mean, it's huge, actually. And not to give away our trade secrets, but we've targeted, you know, several beverages that are currently enjoyed in northern Nigeria. That we're going to do exactly the same thing we're doing with Zobo with these beverages. We're going to source the beverages, the raw materials from Nigeria, and we're going to develop a market in the United States and in the western parts of the world, and really across the globe, globally, because we're looking at China. We are looking at Canada, we are looking at United Arab Emirates, we are looking at
wow.
South Korea.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a global market. And all these countries I've mentioned, and several other countries, you have consumers that are now aware of what they put into their bodies. And they're
wow.
looking for quality products. They don't care where it comes from, as long as it's quality. And as long as your packaging is great, what you are saying the product does actually does it, and you can put your product side by side any other products on the shelves, they'll buy it.
Wow.
So,
that's really interesting, and I'm very, very happy to hear this, because again, 2 or 3 years ago, I stopped drinking any kind of soda, carbonated beverages. So
right.
I started drinking only water, because again, I became aware of what is going into my body. And if
right.
I see something, but I like sweet things. I actually like sweet things, but I just cannot find that sweet thing that is not going to kill me. So,
right.
you know, this
right.
is an alternative for me. And there are so many consumers like me who are trying to do this. And this is what these are the kind of narratives that we have to make sure that we are putting out there. Because
absolutely.
Again, when you go out and you say, when they say, where are you from? And you say, you're from Nigeria. The first thing you say, Nigeria, aren't they fighting? The Muslims and the Christians are
right.
fighting somewhere.
Right.
No, that's
right.
not the issue. The issue is there is actually money in northern Nigeria. This place where there's Boko Haram, there's also like an abundance of wealth and, you know, an opportunity to create businesses and to build empires. And that's what you're doing. I'm really, really impressed. And, you know, I want to ask you one of these questions. So I was asking you during the break, I said, is this your 9-to-5 job now? And you said, yes. What is the challenge of, you know, living the regular paycheck life, which we're all used to, many of us Africans in America, to go the route of entrepreneurship is like, you're just about to kill us. But how do you feel? And, you know, what's been the experience that you've had that you want to share with us in terms of this journey of entrepreneurship?
Right. I mean, I'll be very frank and honest with you, Tope. It's not easy. And you have to plan ahead. And before you ever quit your day job, actually start what you want to do. So have it's like a side hustle. And, you know, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, I believe you should always have a side hustle because you never know. I mean, I had a just as an example, I had a cousin. He was based in Nigeria. He was the CEO of an insurance company. I mean, he was doing extremely well. And, he had, you know, like 3 or 4 official cars. I mean, you know the trappings of being a CEO in Nigeria. And, you know, everyone saw him. He's made. Oh, this guy is doing so well. And he was doing very well. And then all of a sudden, one day I called my older brother in Nigeria and asked after my cousin, hey, how is he doing? He's relocated to Canada. What? Why?
Why?
And this is the importance of side hustle and owning your own business. Hmm. He was actually fired by the owner and chairman of this huge insurance company in Nigeria because there was a conflict. The chairman was, you know, trying to get money out of the business, and he was saying no and trying to do the right thing. But the moral of the story is, you can be the CEO and you can still be fired.
you can be the CEO and you be on the employment line.
Or you're a business owner, no one can fire you. You can only fire yourself by not doing a good job of growing your business to where you're supposed to take it to. So, it's not easy. You have to be patient. You have to be persistent. You can't give up. I mean, if it's a dream, you know, that God has placed in your heart, you know that He's going to sustain you and He's going to get you to your final goal. It might take 2 years, it might take 4, it might take 10. But if you are persistent, if you don't give up, it'll come to pass. And the mistake a lot of people the mistake a lot of people make is they say a lot of success stories, but they never dig deep into the whole story. They just see the trappings, they see the success, they see the big house, they see the, you know, maybe flashy cars, maybe the stories they just closed the deal with, they're now in 500 or 2,000 stores all over the country. They never hear when they started, all the struggles they went through, and how they got to where they are now. All they see is right now and the success story. Now, a classical example is someone we all know and love, Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry struggled for over 6 years. He was homeless. He had, you know, a lot of failures. But he never gave up. And after about 6 years, I mean, he's now someone rubbing shoulders with the president. over $500 million. And I mean, there's so many stories like that. You know, all the success stories you look at, most people did not make it overnight. They struggled. They suffered. A lot of their homes were mortgaged. They were mortgaged to the hilt. I mean, some of them almost gave up, but they never did.
And you know, you have a very valid point. If you make your money overnight, you will probably lose it overnight too. So that's why people who win the lottery, so many of them, if you look at them years after, because this money just came, many of them get really, really broke. And I think, you know, I have actually taken some notes from what you were saying. And one of the things I really like that you said is, if you're the CEO of your own business, no one can fire you. You're the only right. one that can fire yourself by not running your business properly. That is, right. you know, that is absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, that is something that I'm going to personally take away from this. I'm really, really inspired by your experience, by your journey, and by the fact that you're actually bridging the gap between, you know, Africa and America in a very good way, in a very positive way. And I want to wish you all the best. And, you know, Impact Africa will be following you and be reporting your progress to the listeners. And I hope that you'll be back again sometime. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Topper. I really enjoyed it. And you're also a bridge builder, because all you're doing is phenomenal. It's great. You are showcasing, you know, Africa and what Africans can do. It's not all negative and bad stories. There are a lot of Africans making a difference, and, you know, we just have to keep showcasing it, keep doing it, and not give up.
Thank you so much. We'll definitely keep trying our best. Thank you, Kendi, for coming on the show. And I am coming back after the break with another guest who is also doing something in terms of bridging the gap between Africa and America. You don't want to miss this one. And you can, you know, look for Kendi's business at zobolove.com, and you can find them on Facebook as well. And you can try the drink, definitely. You definitely would love it. I think you would really like it. So I'm going to take a brief break now. When I come back, we're going to continue impacting Africa. Please don't go away.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Impact Africa is brought to you by Tope Fajingbesi's House of Ghania, an organization built to inspire. Publishers of What Color Is Your Money, we produce programs and publications and deliver engaging presentations to a wide variety of audiences to develop people and create stronger communities. We also endorse United for Kids Foundation, an organization committed to healing Nigeria and the world, one child at a time. Find us on Facebook at House of Ghania, Twitter at Ghania TFAJ, and on the web at www.ghania.com.
Nine different energy systems make up the energy body. Energy is all around us and connects us. Energy exerts a major control over our biology and is a big reason why you should be tuning in to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Deatley. We'll explore energy balance techniques, tips, and patterns to keep your flow of energy optimal to maintain maximal health. By adopting these techniques, you will keep your energy body and physical body in harmony. Listen for Energy Medicine and Optimal Health, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Impact Africa. To connect with the program today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to Tope. That's T-O-P-E at ourfinancialcoach.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Impact Africa. And, you know, honestly, after the high of the first two segments, I can only get higher and higher right now because of my next guest that I have on the line right now. You know, I have to tell you that I do not know anything about art. I cannot draw, but I can appreciate a good painting. I definitely can see something looks nice. I just can't do it. But the first time I saw this guy's work, I realized that it told me a story. And honestly, it got me thinking about the role of, you know, the kind of conversations that we want to have with people about who we are, about, you know, how we want to be addressed, how art really does that for us. My next guest is the multi-talented designer, and he's an information technologist, a digital artist, you know, all the big, big things, but he does a very fine job. His name is Ade Olufeko. Ade, welcome to Impact Africa.
Hi, Tope. Thanks for having me. You're too kind.
No, seriously. Ade, you know, one of your paintings that everything that you've done, you know, that I've seen has impacted me. And believe me, coming from somebody who doesn't really know anything about art, I have to tell you that I've been impressed. But one of the ones that got me thinking about bringing you on the show was when you did this three African icons, the last one you did for us that you brought for me in DC. And it got me thinking, I recognized two of the men in there and I didn't know the last one. And I was thinking, who is this person? And that's when it began to occur to me that, you know, you artists actually have a plan when you do this stuff. How did you choose art as your language of expressing? And how do you think that is helping to shape the conversation about Africa in America?
That's a great question. You see, most of us as Africans in the diaspora, or even in within the continent in itself, we've lost a bit of our history because of maybe the wrong point of reference. So music and arts, especially the arts, answering your question, creates, it's like a entry to reintroduce topics through visual expression, like the art that you're talking about with the three icons. Hmm. I really wanted to pull back some icons that are somewhat already being forgotten and then bring it back to the forefront as a topic of discussion to see what worked then, what's not working now. And so it's like an open sea of different topics to pick from. And that's one thing that I guess artists are good at, just jumping and then picking something to draw or paint or design.
And, you know, and definitely you and I didn't have a conversation about, you know, the forgotten icons. But now that we're talking about it, I'm saying that really that worked. It really worked because I started to figure out who is this person? What did the person mean? Why is the person, you know, on a painting? So it's a bridge of some sort. But let me also ask you, when people come, like in America, your American audiences, when they come to an exhibition that you do, are they looking for history, or, you know, is it that your art is the beginning of that history? And how do you then follow up with them to say they've started this quest for knowledge and then I can point them in the right direction? Is a typical American customer looking for African history when they're looking for art, or you are the one who sort of forces that history to come to the fore?
Well, it comes down to, it's more about like contextual intelligence and understanding the terrain of where the art is. Who are the sponsors? Are the sponsors sponsoring these exhibitions or pop-up events people who are open to something that's foreign? Are these patrons of the arts looking for something different? It really depends on the goal of the event. Like if it's a goal for a certain kind of a charity, fabulous charities like UKF or Bake for Change in Nigeria, the context will determine the kind of work that I do or the artist that I curate. Because sometimes I take a step back and I push even more gifted. I don't consider myself gifted, maybe a little bit talented, but
I think you're gifted. You're just being modest. It's okay.
So I push right now. It's like, we have, you know, the artists, we are, I would say at the mercy, we can do anything we want to do, but it really depends on, who's financing the projects. Is it someone who wants to push a certain campaign or agenda? You know, sometimes it could be a political angle. Sometimes it could be like, it really depends on who the patrons are. So for the American audience that come to some of these events, they'll see something abstract or they'll just read the topic of the show and say, oh, okay, this is like an African themed. Then they get to learn about, you know, maybe Yoruba gods, Igbo gods, Zimbabwe gods, or, you know, something that's different, you know.
And I think that it's very important to, you know, one of the things that I used to think about when I started watching English soccer, English football, was that they would interview a soccer star, and he would start to speak in his language if it wasn't English, except the African ones. And you know, I was wondering why is he doing that? But now I see them as sort of like artists. They are only projecting their own culture. They're making sure that things don't get, you know, forgotten. And I think that that's the responsibility that you all have as, you know, artists, to make sure that some conversations are not forgotten, some conversations are carried forward. Before I ask you my last question, I want to remind my listeners, and I just got an email from a listener in Nigeria, Tunji Agwejime, who is listening. Thank you so much for listening, for staying awake. This is past, you know, almost 2 a.m. in Nigeria, and I'm very happy to hear that you're listening. If you're listening to the show and you want Impact Africa to continue, please go to www.africa-impact.com. www.africa-impact.com. It's very important that we tell our own stories, that the conversation about Africa, about Africans anywhere in the world, has to be about our achievements, and that we inspire one another to solve the problems that we have, like, you know, we're doing right now through art. And then let me ask you one final question. I know you've done quite a number of things for Ross United for Kids Foundation, pro bono, great. But do you do any events that people can then come and then, you know, be inspired or learn about Africa or start a conversation? Do you do anything like that?
Absolutely. We have one this coming Saturday in Columbia, Maryland. Called Visual Collaborative. Visual Collaborative, which is a company that I'm one of the founding curators. We're teaming up with like a local African-owned business. We like to patronize people on the continent in the diaspora. So this weekend we're showcasing the works of Danielle. She's we also patronize our Western counterparts as well. Then we have Yinka from Brooklyn, New York. We have an East African musician, Salam, which we got from the Dawn organization, through the Dawn Network, ran by a friend I interned with back in Minneapolis, Semhar Aria, through her network.
I'm a member of Dawn. Yeah.
Oh, you're a member of Dawn. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yes. So we're doing something this weekend, and we would love, it's a free event. We love people to come and see the arts. We love people to come and soak in some African, you know, culture and the entrepreneurs who are going to be on site. We do this once every year, and we're looking to do it on the continent in the future. So this weekend, yes, please come through.
And so this is at Columbia, Maryland. Where in Columbia, Maryland? Because I want to come.
Oh, absolutely. The information can be found on, the website is moderncontempo.com.
Okay.
Visualcollaborative.com. Mm-hmm. Those are the, all the information is on there. And I'm sure that if you also go on Twitter and type Visual Collabo, you see the flyer. Just follow the hashtags. Please, you can also put that information up as well. Remember, it's a free event. It's called Visual Collaborative and Modern Contempo Presents Encore. It's the final show for the year.
Okay, and I will also be sending a tweet out from TFAJ2 about the event today. Because this is in my neck of the woods, is in Columbia, Maryland, and it's a free event. Okay, why am I not, you know, going there again? It's on Saturday. Definitely, I want to be there. So, you know, Ade, I want to thank you very much for coming on Impact Africa today.
No, thank you so much.
I also want to thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. And thank you for all the listeners. We love you. I love you.
Thank you so much. And, you know, for helping our foundation, UnitedForKidsFoundation.org, we have benefited, you know, tremendously from your work, not just due to the conversations, but from the money that we've been able to raise. So thank you. Please continue to push the conversations about Africa in this mainstream, you know, audiences, this mainstream arena. And I wish you all the best. I'll be there on Saturday. Thank you.
All right. Look forward. Thank you, Tokwe.
All right. You're still listening to Impact Africa. And when I come back, I'm going to be joined by a fellow diaspora African woman who is, you know, changing the way we look at beauty and linking that conversation back to some very sweet African countries, including Nigeria. Please don't go away.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
Impact Africa is brought to you by Tope Fajingbesi's House of Ghania, an organization built to inspire. Publishers of What Color Is Your Money, we produce programs and publications and deliver engaging presentations to a wide variety of audiences to develop people and create stronger communities. We also endorse United for Kids Foundation, an organization committed to healing Nigeria and the world, one child at a time. Find us on Facebook at House of Ghania, Twitter at Ghania TFAJ, and on the web at www.ghania.com.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
How do you know if you're living with an addict? If you think you know all the recognizable signs, you probably don't. If you're listening to and reading from the so-called experts, you probably don't. You need to hear from a parent, just like yourself, who has been there and can tell you what it's like firsthand. Please listen to Afflicted by Addiction with Bradley DeHaven. Our program is heard every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. It just might save your life or the life of someone you love.
Stimulating talk gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Impact Africa. To connect with the program today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to Tope, that's T-O-P-E, at ourfinancialcoach.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Impact Africa, and today is such an inspiring day for me, me personally, because I'm seeing how food, art, and now jewelry can help, you know, put Africa in a good light in the diaspora and, in fact, in the world. So my next guest is a fellow Diaspora African Women Network member. She's Marisa Kwaning, and Marisa is, she has got a flavor of countries going here, you know, Ghana, Sierra Leone by marriage and by birth. And one of the things that I like about Marisa is that she has all these big degrees. She's a writing expert. If you ever want to learn how to write, you better contact her. She has a degree in public policy, but she is actually putting Africa on the beauty table of so many Americans through, you know, wonderfully sourced and responsibly bought jewelry. Marisa, welcome to Impact Africa.
Thank you for having me, Tope.
Yeah, so let me ask you, seriously, straight to the point. Why would somebody who has a good job, a good life, and everything going on, then start dealing jewelry? Why classic African?
Thank you for the question. You know, because this life that we're living, it's really not about yourself and fulfilling needs. It's really, you should really be convicted to see how you can make an impact on your fellow man. And yeah, as an African in this country, I feel doubly responsible in terms of what can I do really impact the economic well-being of my fellow Africans who are incredibly talented on the ground here in the U.S. How can I bridge that gap? So that's really what inspired me to really take that route, especially since jewelry and accessories is something that women in particular, we can relate and we can communicate with one another in a way that that language does not, that has no barriers, so to speak. That's what really drew me to classic African, and having a partner on the ground that also shared that vision, it just made it that much easier.
And you know what? Honestly, like if I'm in my office, sure, and I'm speaking my Nigerian Yoruba language, Right. People might not understand what I'm saying, but the day I show up there in my Ankara dress or some earring that I bought from you or some jewelry that I bought from you, people are going to have a conversation. Oh, what is that? Where did you get that from? It's a language that, you know, is universally understood. And I'm really very happy. You know, one thing I'm hearing from all my guests today, particularly you, is the fact that there's some things that we don't think about that are actually missions. Who would think that jewelry is a mission? And I'm happy the way you're making this a mission. One of the things that I also think is very interesting is that is the way you source this jewelry. Tell my listeners a little bit about that.
Can you say that again?
The way you source the jewelry, like how do you buy them? How do you get them?
Oh, great. That's an excellent question. You know, from the inception, it's working directly with vendors that are based in Ghana and, you know, also hail from Mali, the Tuareg tribe of Mali and Niger. So my business partner is based in Accra, and I'm based here in Washington, D.C. And we empower local vendors by purchasing directly from them. The individuals that created the intricate jewelry, that created the intricate earrings and just every piece of accessory that a woman would love to be adorned with. So from the inception, that is the relationship that has started. And even one of our main direct suppliers is actually a third-generation trader that hails from the Tuareg region of Mali. Has just been an incredible wealth of knowledge for us in terms of just working with them and just expanding the base of other vendors that we work with in Ghana.
Wow. You know, honestly, first of all, I just realized, and through this show, when I hear about different countries, one of the things I try to think about is, what do I know about that country? One of the countries that I know absolutely nothing about is Mali. And, you know, I can imagine, you know, how much you have learned just by doing this business. So now I see and I love how this is impacting these traders, you know, on our side of the continent. How are people in America receiving this ethnic jewelry? Is the market good?
You know, it's funny that you started out with the exact analogy that you did in terms of just the way it's easy to communicate with jewelry. From the inception, every time I'd go to maybe a workplace or just out about town on the metro or at a meeting, somebody would stop me and want to find out where I got the earrings that I was wearing or where did I get the intricately designed handbag that I had on me at that moment. So it was always a conversation starter. And as a result, Classic African was born, and we've held various events via festivals or our market events or events that are catered towards designers and really empowering designers on the ground here. And it's just been really well received. And everybody loves the fact that they can have a unique piece because no two or three pieces look quite the same. So that individual twist to everything that is created has really been well received here in the Washington metro area.
And, you know, as you're talking, I'm just thinking that if you haven't done this, I think that you should do an exhibition. You know, when you see, especially Caucasians, when they go to Africa, they want to go and get this unique pieces of jewelry and they want to see the story around it. They want to know, they want to come back and say, you know, I bought this bag and this was when something Zulu, this. So I'm thinking that if you haven't done this or you haven't thought about it, I think you should do an exhibition where you display this jewelry and you also display some stories behind some of these pieces so that people can vacation to Africa without even leaving this country.
That's wonderful. That's a great idea.
I think that would be an awesome idea. And you can definitely work with the gentleman who was on the show before you came, because an artist, if you need to draw something, you know, to get people going to Africa, starting a conversation about Mali, about Niger, about, you know, Ghana, about these places just by coming to that show. And I would love to attend.
Great. This is what it's all about. It's definitely about bridging the gap and connecting with other artists that are doing similar things. So this is a wonderful venue. Thank you for even having us, Tope.
No problem. And so between now and then, I know the holidays are coming and people are thinking about this idea of, you know, okay, this might be something that I can get for, you know, my family because they like Africa, where can they get classic African jewelry?
Sure, that's an excellent question. Classic African, we are based here in the U.S., so if anybody needs to reach us, we are on Facebook. Find us under Classic African, C-L-A-S-S-I-C, African, A-F-R-I-K-A-N. And we are also on Instagram under the same name, Classic African. And if any, and for direct orders, please feel free to contact me directly at classicafrican@gmail.com.
Fantastic. And that is Classic African with a K. The African is with a K. So please take note. And if you ever want to reach this guest or any of my guests, please let me know. You can tweet at me at TFAJ2, T-F-A-J-2. I really have enjoyed having you on the show, Marisa. I'm seeing that I'm out of time, but I hope to have you back again, especially when you're about to have that exhibition that, I think you're going to do so well having next year.
Thank you. I hope to be back to also say that. And also in the future, we're definitely hoping to organize trips to Ghana and really take the trip to see where, these pieces are intricately designed, as well as just the beauty of the region. So, in the future, Classic African intends to evolve really become a full-scale bridging Africa and the U.S. together. That is our hope.
And that is what we're doing. And please let us know when as that evolves. Thank you so much for coming. And thank you to everybody who has listened. Please don't forget, go to www.africa-impact.com. Let us continue these conversations. Until next week when I see you again with another inspiring guest, please keep impacting Africa. Good night.
Thank you again for tuning in to Impact Africa. Please join Tope Fajingbesi again next Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a good week.